Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be directly addressing that. Within each and every one of us, there is a phenomenal self. And many times we go through life, we have many kinds of experiences, and we wonder, what do we do with this stuff? How are we going to make it work? If you feel like your life just is in the toilet, can you clean it up? Is there a Clorox special? What can we do? Well, my guest today, Dr. Jennifer Howard, has put together a book called Your Ultimate Life Plan. Now, maybe you've never, ever used the word ultimate, which is pretty far-reaching when you think about it. But this is something that I think is a part of self-education. And I want to welcome to the show Dr. Jennifer Howard. Do you mind if I call you Jennifer?
I don't at all. Thank you, Donna.
Wonderful.
And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be with you.
Well, it's a delight having you on the show. Now, you really like teaching what you call the art of conscious living, mindful
yes.
living. You are a psychotherapist. You have been a life and business coach. You teach, obviously. You also have expanded into areas regarding energy healing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have had a journey of your own that has enabled you to reach this point where you say, I really want people to know, one, they can make a difference, but it's the transformation of ourselves into really who we are that gives us the power, because we are the transformers, if you will. We
That's
are
right.
a living, breathing, transformational process in action. How did you get to that point? Because it didn't happen in 30 seconds. What was your journey like?
Thank you for asking that. And, yes, I love when you said self-education and a Clorox special. Yes. I came to New York to be an actor, dancer, singer person from the South and found myself anxious at auditions and not going as far as I had hoped to in that particular career. I did okay, but not as well as I wanted to. So I started on my own personal journey. I began studying metaphysics in 1980 and getting into therapy in the early 80s, and I found that it was so transformative that it was just amazing. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I want to help people this way. And then every program that if people want to go to my website and look at the about on the second page, I list all the trainings I've had. I've said so many trainings. But each training program I did, lots of them were 3 and 4 years long, and they included personal development, practice therapy sessions, group sessions. So I kept transforming as I was studying and becoming better with other people. I got to transform myself. And then, yes, I got to a certain place when I was on the faculty of a healing school that I thought, it's time for me to teach what my song is this life, what I came to share.
I had to chuckle when I read the foreword by Lama Surya Das, because in that foreword he says, awareness is curative, healing, and the most powerful force in the world. Wisdom gives life and is a pearl beyond price. And I have a memory of myself when I was a young girl. I think I was 12 years old, something like that, and I was playing a game with a friend, and I'd never played the game before, but it was the three-wish game. And I can remember standing on that street corner with my friend holding my high school books in hand and saying to her, I don't understand the game. And she said, what are your three wishes? And she gave me the example of hers. And she, of course, it was like getting married, having kids, this typical thing that girls are expected to do. But I said, wisdom and insight was what I wanted. And boy, did the universe kick me in the can like you wouldn't believe. Think, you got it, kid. This is what you're going to get. So I had to chuckle when I read this because it brought that memory back. And I thought, we do have to go through these journeys. When you go into these classes, when you talk about all the trainings you have, you obviously took those portions that were nourishing to you, because that's what a student does when a student is learning. They'll take those little golden nuggets that resonate with their space, with their experience, and then they will compile them after a while. And then the fluff stuff, they just sort of go, well, that's fine, but we're going to put that in the recycle bin, toss it out, let it reconstitute itself in a different way. You start off in your introduction with a question. Are you ready to live the life you've always dreamed of? I'm telling you, I have such a response to that question because
wonderful.
I know that my dreams have changed through the years.
Right.
Didn't yours change?
Absolutely.
Why did you start off the book with this question?
Well, I think everyone wants to have a complete life. And if you have to start wherever you are. So if you follow your dreams when you're 25 and you really stay conscious, awake, aware, and alive, you'll find yourself at 55 exactly where you want to be then. It doesn't mean you're going to get what you want when you're 25.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you stay awake and you follow that longing and that urge, like you did, that inner urge to take you to the next place to be wise or the next place inside of us, and sometimes we get slapped in the, like you said, hit in the gut with life. And then if we use that as a way to become wise, as a way to, what is that about, you know, and learn from it, then when we get to older, we really do have the life we dreamed of. We just didn't know how to dream it at that point.
I think that's so true, and what is important, I feel, with people, and being involved as a counselor with others, is that there is an aspect of life that you need to develop a level of trust with. And believe me, I have had major issues with this throughout my lifetime, because I frequently call the customer service department of the universe saying, I'm sorry, this is not working according to plan, and I know my listeners can all relate to this. And they always put me on hold. That is so aggravating. I can't tell you how aggravating that is. And I know my listeners can relate to that. Now, your
Absolutely.
Book is in three, it's in actually three parts. Your first part is the foundation of a conscious life. The second part is exploring multi-level consciousness. And the third part is working with your ultimate life plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that first part, because one of the biggest concerns that people have, they'll go around, I don't care whether they're rich, poor, or in the middle somewhere, I'm not happy. Life sucks. Boy, teenagers are really good at this, you know, but that's what you're supposed to do when you're a teenager. You're supposed to have an attitude, and hopefully it's an attitude where you're ready to grow up and move out. But when you find 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old individuals with this attitude,
yes,
it's time for a shift. Thank you very much. Let's discuss that for a moment.
Well, I think that shift is inch by inch. I mean, I talk about in here that everybody longs for the six quick and easy answers that take 5 minutes to complete happiness for the rest of your life. And what we were saying earlier, if you're going with that life you've dreamed of, moment by moment, it begins to unfold. But it's our responsibility to learn about life, ourselves, our own thoughts and feelings, our deeper connections, and to work on all levels as best we can with that to really come into our own psychological and spiritual maturity. So the first part of this book really helps people embrace, if they do the exercises, I mean, I had so many endorsements by wonderful people who told me, you know, if people will do this book, they will actually change.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it because it's, you know, it takes you through step by step with questions and meditations helping people. I mean, there's many other books that do this too, but helping people question themselves, well, why am I? What is this about? Going layer by layer, deeper by deeper, so that you really do understand yourself. You really can move through life leading with that deeper part of ourselves instead of with that false self, which I talk about, I think, in Chapter 3, and then expound more in Chapter 4 about the ego and what we do with it.
I really enjoyed your statement by psychologist Britta Hosel, who is at Harvard Medical School. And there was a study she did over a period of 8 weeks regarding the effect of mindfulness meditation. Now, meditation we've all heard of, but mindfulness meditation. Explain that kind of process, because her study was absolutely wonderful. And I do meditation almost every single day. Sometimes I miss, but it makes a world of difference in my life. Tell us about her study and why this is so effective and how it affects the brain.
Well, I think it lets the brain talk back and forth for all the right side and the left side hemispheres. It brings us, you know, so does therapy and processing and your counseling, I'm sure, brings us to the frontal lobe away from the amygdala and the reactivity of that knee-jerk reaction stuff that we do in life that doesn't work for us. So meditation is about learning. I mean, there's so many meditations, and I have a gazillion in here kinds to do. But mindfulness meditation is about watching your thoughts and letting them go, watching your feelings, letting them go, not dissociating from them, and not in that moment grabbing hold of it and walking down the street with it, to really watch what comes up and let it go, and watch what comes up, and watch our attachment to it, and watch how we want to tell the story about it, and watch how we want to be right about it, and all that stuff, and let it go.
That is an extremely large challenge, and I want to lead into another section that you have in your book, because it really brings home something that's very significant, and that is understanding our programming, understanding the generational programming that goes on. And I can relate very, very strongly to that, not only because of what I've experienced in counseling and working with other people, but also relative to family members and particular programs that they adopted that were passed along, you might say, genetically. And this is mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual, genetically, as well as the indoctrination process. And you talk about a Bert Hellinger and how people take on the unconscious connections and dysfunctional family patterns of their relatives and ancestors. Now, this is something that is coming forth more and more, and I've observed this.
Yes.
I have seen this directly, and it's just fascinating.
Isn't
it? Let's chat about that for a little bit.
Well, I'd love to. So what we're saying is not only are we affected by the environment and what actually happens to us in our childhood, interactions with our parents and interactions with caretakers or teachers or rabbis or ministers or all that, but we're also affected by the unconscious material of our parents. And I see it all the time with my clients. I've been seeing this for 25 years. And people will say, but my parents never did dot, 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 dot. But then when we trace it ancestrally, or we understand, well, they actually were cheating on your mother, but nobody knew it. But yet it was present in the room, even though nobody knew it, but that one person. So our unconscious material is, you know, Rupert Sheldrake talks about the resonance, the morphic resonance, and Bert Hellinger really does these family constellation work, which I do not do, but there are many people around the country that do, and people are blown away. You know, some strange person is asked to be your mother, and suddenly this person comes up with these feelings about something that maybe is so insightful to you, but yet does resonate, because we do pick up this energetic field all the time. We're just not conscious of it. But the more we pay attention to our own thoughts and feelings, the more we tune into our own energy systems, the more we work with the four levels of consciousness, the more it is that we can pick up this energetic field around us and not just be pushed around by life. Unless we know our programming from our inner thoughts and feelings and what happened with mom and dad and what happened in these energetic fields like you're talking about, like, you know, like you asked me to talk about, we're just pushed around, and we say, well, I don't know how I got here. We end up, you know, in our 50s, like you say, and we're still living like a teenager. And it makes me sad because I want to go, you can do it, you know, because people don't have to live. They don't have to settle for such mediocrity in lives. They don't have to.
It's a breaking away of what I call traditional modality. And that's why so many times the people that are considered the black sheep of the family, then when they're the breakaways, then that really affects so much of an environment that's around them, because that environment says, no, you've got to keep on with what we're doing. And it can be very unhealthy. I interviewed a woman earlier this week whose life was filled with terrible, terrible abuse, terrible situations. And finally, she was the one that said, this is being perpetuated because of various modalities of thinking within the family. And she started investigating different things, and she was able to finally break that. But it was very, very present in the consciousness of the environment that she had been brought up in, as well as the family she had been born into. And it is interesting. It didn't affect a sibling like it did her. And what she had to do the journey. She had to take the journey on.
Right.
And she's living a very full and rich life today. But your book brings out a lot of good information relative to this.
Well, thank you. And I think that what you're talking about, too, is we also come in, I believe, with some sort of our own karma, our own individual lifetime lineage that may or may not be completely related to the family lineage, too. I mean, I think they're intertwined, but that's why siblings can be so different, is, you know, I think we also come in with that, those tasks that we came to do. You know, if I had gotten the soap opera that I so longed for at 25, I might have been taken off track. I mean, I did soaps, but I never got a contract role. I always did, like, day player stuff. If I had gotten that role, I might have gotten sucked into being a soap star, which would have been fine, but it's not my karma. It's not my destiny. This is my destiny, what I'm teaching, what I know. And if I had succeeded, as I so wanted to, at those other things, I wouldn't be able to teach this. So we don't know sometimes.
Absolutely true. That's part of the journey and the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Exploring your internal rhythms. Before we talk about that, I wanted to use a quote out of your book by Hale Dwoskin. Your freedom is already here and now, resting just beneath the surface of your emotions. That quote reminded me of a story about Alexander the Great and how he requested this very, very famous sage that was in somewhere. Egypt, I think it was. And the sage couldn't be bothered. Messenger was sent to him, don't bother me, don't bother me. And Alexander the Great finally went to see him and wanted to know why he didn't come. He said, well, why should I? Why should I respond to you? I'm a free person. I'm a free man. I don't need to do your bidding. And this sage was not intimidated, was not afraid. And I think it's a story that represents power, position, and presence, and how do you feel about yourself in life. And in my mind, the sage was saying, I am my own person. I acknowledge my own power, and though you may be a king, you don't have dominion over me, no matter what you think. And that, to me, was a very, very powerful story. And, of course, I'm just sort of throwing it out there. I don't remember it exactly. But I got the essence of it, and I thought, this is a very, very powerful allegory or metaphor, whichever word you want to use. And I think that that's what we have to remember, because part of our journey is becoming aware of the fact that we are a free person regardless of what is around us, and we can deal with life and have that freedom and have our place in life and be present with where we are. And that's a pretty big thing to do. That's a pretty big step of accomplishment.
It is, and what you're talking about is being able to discern, and that's what this chapter is about, recognizing distract and developing discernment. I mean, we skipped over the ego, but I think we talked about it a little bit, but that we need to discern what is our bidding. I mean, that wise sage was able to discern, this is not my path, this is my path. You know, so we have to learn how to trust our own gut, how to hear the inner longings of our self, how to know the different voices of our wisdom, which I talk about in here. So we know, I mean, I know for myself, when somebody says something to me, like if I'm struggling with an answer and my body relaxes, my stomach lets go when somebody says something to me, I know for me that's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
That I go, ah, that's perfect. That's the right place. You know, or if I say to myself, I don't have to have somebody else say it to me. But to learn our own inner systems and our own inner wisdom, there's a lot of those books out there, Donna, and I know you know what I'm talking about, that will say, you know, if your right foot twitches, that means yes. You know, that's not true for everyone. I think it really is our job to learn our own answers and our own way to know our answers.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes directly into what we call the sixth sense intuition. It's something that is a natural part of ourselves. And this
right.
I've been advocating for years. So when we allow the nervous system radar to read information and we learn to interpret it, and physiologically in thought, so many levels, usually we're not wrong. Children do this all the time. And it's something that many times people have to become reacquainted with. You never lose it. It's always there, but you have to become friends with it again.
Yes.
It's quite an interesting phenomenon. The languages of the inner voice is something that you address, which is what we have just been speaking about. You also have your section on multi-level consciousness. You start off with living a 4D life. What's that?
Well, the way I've talked about the levels of consciousness is kind of different than other folk speak about it. I'm talking about the nested reality of our existence in general and our awareness to it. So the physical awareness, eventually we want to embody spirit. You know, that's kind of what we're here to do. But the physical awareness, and I talk about the mindsets of each of those nested consciousness, meaning the mindset of the action physical dimension, which is this next chapter, but this is what the chapter you're talking about is an intro to the other, you know, dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset of the action physical, if you don't have access and you're not aware of the other dimensions, is a very limited, painful place to be, which unfortunately much of the world exists in, very black and white thinking, very right and wrong. A lot of wars began out of this. I mean, it's a real powerful way to think about it, and there's other people who've written about this. But then as we expand, we take in the next level of consciousness, which is the formation emotional, and we kind of expand ourselves, and they're nested, meaning the physical is in that, the action physical is already in that other one, so you've got both dimensions now, like the Russian dolls. And then you finally start to see your feelings, you start to see motivations for people. You know, you still might have to lock someone up or murder someone, but you might be able to have some empathy for them because you see where their motivation came from to kill that person. So life gets a little better as we move along in these dimensions. Because our mind, we be able to take in the world in a different place, eventually really being able to move into the deepest language there is, which is silence, and the wisdom of the sages, speaking the sages, the way they spoke about it, the mystics. So we expand from the action physical to the formation emotional, to the creation mental, and then finally to the emanation spiritual, where we have available all dimensions. Now, I don't know anybody. Maybe people, you know, never ever have a bad thought, a bad day, but most of us still have slivers of consciousness that will, the six issues I talk about in the first part of the book that I think we're here to work out, the karma, the whatever, that will slip back down into these other dimensions, and I think it's our job to bring our wisdom and our consciousness to these slivers as to free ourselves, because as, you know, Hale said, the freedom is right underneath there. We just have to learn how to be with it.
All of us have stories. I've never met anyone that doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many times we fall in love with a story. And those stories can be pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I feel that your book introduces people to is the awareness that they can change that story. They don't have to be like the movie Groundhog Day, where you repeat something over and over and over and over again until you're ready to scream. It doesn't need to happen, but sometimes there are those lessons that I think, and that's how I will word it, there are lessons that we need to recognize that as individuals, when we learn from them, those around us may not, but if we learn, we move on.
Yeah.
And I really like the title of one of your chapters, and I know we've got just about 2 minutes here, a few minutes left.
Oh, shoot.
Needing every moment awake, aware, alive.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that is so significant. That is so significant. There is so much in life that we have no control over. But if we look at a moment and say in that moment, this is where I am right now. I may not be this way tomorrow, but I am that way right now. And make it okay that we are where we are in the now. But we're alert and we pay attention. I think if we can develop that kind of concentration and focus, it shifts so much. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Just amazingly shifts so much. But that is really a discipline. And there are those disciplines that you talk about in the book. And I think in our world today where everybody wants everything in 30 seconds or less, bingo, we drop it, we've got it. It doesn't happen that way, thank you very much, in most instances. So it works on television shows because they've got a script and they've got it all put together and this is what you've got. You've got these little bites, folks, and now we are moving, changing the channel, going to another show. But real life demands attentiveness.
Yes.
And that's something that often is very, I don't care what your age is, very, very difficult to deal with. In fact, that's one of the biggest challenges that I find many people that I've worked with through the years, many of them have. It's focus and determination and being aware that they have to take care of what's in front of them right now. For you, what was one of the biggest lessons to teach you that?
Wow, I don't even know how to answer that. I would have to sit with it. What I was thinking about when you were talking was that, you know, life is going to go by anyway. And if you choose to be awake, it's going to go by in a much better fashion. What taught me how to be awake and aware? I guess my own personal pain. I mean, I have had a lot of physical issues my entire life and dealing with those, I guess, and, you know, regular stuff. My father passed away. You know, just life certainly puts us up against it if we're willing to stay present, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Now, you have in Meeting Every Moment Awake, Aware, and Alive, you say you need to be grounded, and you have what's called a stopping meditation. And this is something that I have done so frequently through the years, and you put words to it. But whenever you're out, if you're walking, whatever, just stop and pay attention. Listen, smell, watch, be present with where you are. Whether you're walking a dog or you're washing dishes or whatever, just be aware of everything that's going on around you. What do you hear?
Right.
What do you see? What are you feeling? What's going on? And it's, you know, just doing that. It only takes a little tiny bit of time, a microscopic, mini microscopic speck of time. It really does make a difference.
Makes a huge difference. Our whole nervous system starts to acclimate. So you're being aware of your inner life, which is your thoughts and feelings, and your sensations, but you're also being aware of your outer life. And eventually, when we reach, you know, the deepest levels of consciousness, we realize that it's all one thing. But when we're stopping in that moment, we realize, oh, I'm on an automatic pilot, worrying about my mother, worrying about whatever we worry about. Let me take a moment and step out of my ordinary thing and say, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? What am I? Where I'm gripping my heart. My stomach's tight. I hear the birds. I see the sky. Oh, I see that, you know, animal. I see a person walk by. Ah, so we reconnect with the world and ourselves. So that just, it's a powerful, quick, even just taking a breath sometimes can bring us back to, whoa, okay, I'm here. right. instead of lost and, somewhere.
And it makes such a difference. Well, Jennifer Howard, we are out of time. It's been delightful having you as a guest today. I want my audience to know that you have a website, drjenniferhoward.com, drjenniferhoward.com, and that's DR, not the full word doctor. Also, you can go to yourultimatelifeplan.com and check out information there. But I really think that this is the type of book that when you get it, you read it through, and if you're going to do like me, you will write in it. I know some people will say, Donna, that's sacrilegious with a book. Uh-uh. No, it isn't. When you have a book in your hands, you treat it like a friend. And that friend you are going to be able to make notes with or have a little notebook if you wanted to. But books, to me, are like the breath of life. So when you honor and respect them by making notes in them, then that integrates with you. Whenever you write something down that has meaning for you, it shifts something in the brain. It shifts something in the spirit. Dr. Jennifer Howard, your book, Your Ultimate Life Plan, is thought-provoking, and it also it is very expansive in many of its applications. And it's the type of book that can become a friend to someone that chooses to bring it into their library. Thank you for being my guest today. Check out our website, drjenniferhoward.com. This is Donna. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30, and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Northwest Women's Show, Friday through Sunday, March 1st through 3rd at Seattle's CenturyLink Event Center, where you'll find 3 days packed with fashion, fitness, food, and fun. Each day features life-changing seminars and, of course, shopping, shopping, shopping. Meet smooth crooner Philip Lomax from The X Factor. Enjoy live music from country music star Jared Neiman and others. Learn what the numbers can tell you about your future from numerologist to the stars Glynis McCants, and get a peek at how the Ice Chip Grannies successfully navigated ABC's hit show, The Shark Tank. JCPenney will give you a heads up on trends for spring with fashion shows, and everyone loves those smoking hot firefighters. The Northwest Women's Show, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 1st through 3rd, sponsored by Snoqualmie Casino, Safeway, and BECU. Show schedules and ticket information at nwwomenshow.com. Sponsored by Snoqualmie Casino, Safeway, AARP, and BECU.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and let me tell you what I perceive. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything. that you like. There's no such thing as a dumb question. So give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Now, you heard the ad for the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. And for those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis, you know this is coming up March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Well, I am presenting a women's forum on March 1st. I have six dynamic speakers that are going to be there. We are going to have all kinds of subject matter we're going to be discussing. And it's just a wonderful event. I've been participating with Margot Wakefield and her team for years now, and it is just something that is a joy to be a part of. I'm also going to be in booth number 405. I'm going to be giving many consultations, and I'm going to have buku books there and CDs and some other things. So come along, say hello, and just know you need your good walking shoes on because it's a huge show. And we just have a blast. So I hope you'll come along and you will be a part of it. On Saturday, March 2nd, I will be speaking at 2 o'clock. And I will be talking about quantum mind, your genie, your intuitive genie within. So we'll be talking about that. So again, March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, go to northwestwomenshow.com, their website, get all the details. I would just love to have you stop by and say hello. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller on the line, and I will just give the number out again, 888-627-6008. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Julie from Nebraska.
Hi, Julie. What area of Nebraska?
Kind of south central, Hastings.
Hastings, Nebraska. It has been years since I've been in Nebraska, and boy, what I saw was just an amazing area of country. I just loved it.
Thank you.
Let's get down to business with you, Julie. First, you have an excellent mind. I want you to continue your writing. I want you to continue your development of your artistic creative side. I don't care how you do it. You could put mosaic tiles together for all I care, or paint ducks on a wall. It doesn't make any difference to me what you do. But I want you to realize that you have such a good imagination that you may feel like you could not do a business on your own and really be extremely successful, and you're wrong. The disciplines of the writing and the artistic side of yourself are going to dovetail very well with the understanding of how to work with a business and how to be an independent entrepreneur. You just need to know that you can make that shift mentally and be happy with it. Now, you're going to be breaking with a lot of tradition, in a sense, in the next 2.5 to 3 years. And I think what is occurring is that you have felt you will go through these feelings that you have paid your dues. And now you can walk your own walk. Now, it's going to be a slow walk of change. It's not going to be really, really rapid. But the imagery that I'm getting in my mind, it's as if you're standing at a graveside. You're giving your goodbye to whatever or whomever you may have felt you have a responsibility to. And once that cycle is finished, which will be by June the 18th of this year, and you've got a lot of loose ends you're taking care of between June 18th of this year and June 18th of 2014. So you've got a year that you're going to be doing adjusting. But in my imagery that I'm getting, I'm seeing you very, very nicely walking away, very much at peace, very much free, and for some reason, fall and winter months are very important to you when it comes to creating something new and different. Why those particular seasons are of that disposition for you, I don't know. But if you will listen to the rhythm within yourself, as fall comes in, honor those rhythms. Know that you sort of want to become like a hermit. And with winter, you can be as expansive with your creativity on all levels as you want to be. Then as you come into the springtime of the year, you want to put the action out so that your creativity will have form. So just learn your natural rhythm. And you're going to find yourself eventually, within 2.5 to 3 years, evolving into a business of your own that is going to be very, very satisfying. And you'll be able to do the study you want. You're going to be able to have the pace of life as you want it. And you're definitely not going to be bored. But the boredom that you're experiencing right now is necessary, because without it, you wouldn't move forward. If you were contented, you wouldn't move. You wouldn't do anything. So it's a very good period in your life to make the shift that you are making. You're not going backwards, and you're not stuck. You just merely have to go through the finalizations of associations, patterning that need to be buried. They need to go through the death process so that then you can move forward as you want. Am I making sense to you?
Yeah, for sure.
Great.
Sure.
What's your question for me?
You probably answered a lot of my questions just in what you had said. I didn't know my husband, we had to sell our shares in our family business, and so he's kind of been going through some major life changes and career changes in his life and looking at different options in real estate. And I just didn't know if, can you pick up on anything of where our new family business or his business, where he may be going?
I think you're going to do a business separate from your husband.
Okay.
And the reason being is that your husband needs to find his venue that he's really going to enjoy. And I'm going to give you a very simple, practical suggestion. And that is, look at taking a vocational aptitude test. Now, this may seem absolutely ridiculous, but it isn't. You and your husband have both evolved in your own ways and to levels of maturation where you're ready for change, you more than him. So consequently, if you did something like this and you could see how psychologically and temperamentally there are certain arenas that you would be better suited for, doesn't mean that that's what you're going to choose, but what it gives you is an insight into yourself. And I think that it would help him a great deal, because what he's trying to do is take himself a round peg and put himself into a square hole, and it will not make him happy. It will not make him happy at all. So I would suggest there be a attitude of relaxation about this, and use this time to explore. Use this time to evaluate. Use this time to maybe do an apprenticeship level of some kind. And I know many times when people have a particular working background, they go, I don't want to do that. I've got to get something right away. I understand that. But why not empower yourself with some inside information that allows you to realize that you don't need to follow in the footsteps of somebody else, but be really true to who you are?
Good.
And
thank
I want to
so
thank
much.
You for your call, Julie.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And if you wanted to go more in depth, just give me a call at the office, because I work with people. So
yes,
that number
for sure.
253-582-5604 is my direct office line.
Okay. We'll but do that. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, and I'm delighted you called in.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to share a delightful story about, a gentleman that was taught a lesson by his grandma. Mm-hmm. Don't we all have stories like that? Yes, we do. But give me a call if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. Well, our guest tomorrow is going to be Jim Ewing, Conscious Eating. Now, this is not going to be just about food. It is going to be about an attitude regarding life and food, its integration, what it means, so on and so forth. And Jim was with the people at Fenhorn. And, of course, we all know about the phenomenal things that occurred there. But the book Conscious Eating is a lot more. It's not a big book, but, oh, it's got some good stuff in it. And then on Friday, we're going to be having Michael Schwartz back. Michael Schwartz put together a book that just is amazing. It's called Disease Symbology. Now, Louise Hay had put out a publication many years ago about the mind-body connection, the mind-body-spirit-emotion connection. And her book is wonderful. Michael's book goes into another level that I just think the detail is amazing. So we're going to be talking about various conditions. We'll pull out some different modalities so that you can really see that there's an integration here. It's fascinating stuff. So Michael Schwartz on Friday, and oh, we've got so many wonderful people. We've got so many talented people in this world, and I'm so glad they're doing this stuff because I wouldn't have time to do it. Maybe you wouldn't have time to do it, but on the Donna Sebo Show, not only will you be able to hear their stories, but you also are going to perhaps be inspired to write one of your own. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Well, for those of you that listen to the show regularly, you know I really enjoy talking about recipes. My husband, when we were married many years ago, he said, Donna, my goodness, you should open a restaurant. You just love to cook. You have this magic touch, and your food is so good. And, of course, he blames me for his expanded waistline, naturally. But anyway, he said, it's just wonderful. People love to eat at your table. He said, it's just something you could have had a business with this. Well, I never wanted a restaurant, but food for me has always been very special. I did have, on my father's side of the family, exposure to the Italian environment. And Italians are known for their love of food, delicious flavors, the use of oregano, basil, fennel, I mean, then the fresh vegetables and all this stuff. This is a part of the culture. This is just a joy of socializing and interacting with people. And I had an Aunt Josephina that really affected me quite intensely that I had the privilege of meeting when I was about 8 or 9 years of age. And this was an Italian lady that loved cooking. Well, when I came across this story by Becky Ponder, she's in Maryland, I thought, Becky, boy, can I relate to this. But it's about Becky's grandma. Now, she had times when she was about 5 years old where her mother would say, go spend some time with your grandma. I want you, apparently they lived fairly close together, I want you to go spend some time with her. You just get in the kitchen with her. Well, Becky's grandma did a lot of cooking, and she really was someone that managed to produce miraculous things. And we all know cooking takes time. So though Becky was just 5 years old at the time, five-year-olds are pretty smart. she knew that her mom wanted her to get out of her hair. She had to go someplace, do something. And she said, okay, I'm going to go over to Grandma's. Well, that's what she did. And she said when she was growing up, her mom would talk about her grandma, about the wonderful food that her grandmother would fix, especially during the days of the Great Depression. And her grandmother always had a pot of soup on the stove for anybody that came to her door that might be hungry. And this was something many people did. And even when Grandma got elderly, she was baking bread on a regular basis, and she would give it away to friends. Well, when Becky was five, her specialty was Wonder Bread. That was the hot thing. She didn't know that she really liked Grandma's bread, because her Grandma's bread had rye pumpernickel in it. It was a dense bread. It had texture to it. And you can imagine a five-year-old, after having Wonder Bread, biting into this real hearty bread, and she goes, I don't like it, Grandma. I really don't like it. However, she did what her mother said, and she went into the kitchen to spend some time with Grandma. And she describes her grandmother as having black hair twisted up in a big twist, a French twist, they would have called it. And she had a white apron over her outfit. And she said she remembered her grandmother always scolding her mom. Well, her mom wasn't a cook. Her mom didn't want to cook like Grandma did. That wasn't her interest. Grilled cheese sandwiches were her specialty. However, her grandmother, when she came into the kitchen, her grandmother let her crack an egg. She did some various things, and she said, okay, now I want you to work the bread. And imagine, you know, a five-year-old doesn't have a lot of strength in their hands, but she had fun with it. Because her grandma said, we can't let the bread rise too high, otherwise it's not going to have the texture we want. And so she started having regular sessions with her grandmother. And her grandmother taught how to clean it up. And she said, my grandmother made a German apple pie. And she said she'd give me sometimes little pieces of sugared crust that was leftover pie crust that she had put sugar and cinnamon on and baked. And she just loved it. She said, that was wonderful. And she said her grandmother made a dish that she absolutely fell in love with at the age of five. Her grandmother said, this is a recipe from the old country. She took a big head of cabbage, took some onions, butter, and salt, and pepper, and put it into a large skillet. And her grandmother then took a bunch of noodles, put them into boiling water. The noodles were cooking, and the little girl watched, little Becky watched the cabbage become very, very small compared to what it had really been. And the cabbage and the noodles and all of these wonderful flavors were blended together. And she asked her grandma about it, and her grandmother said, this is what we would eat in Poland. This was a very, very easy dish for people who didn't have a lot of money. She said, I came from a peasant family, and this is what we would have. The noodles and the cabbage and the onion and our whatever herbs we had, and that was our meal, and it gave us sustenance. By golly, the tender age of five, she fell in love with this particular recipe. And she said, today I'm an adult, and she said, I've learned how wonderfully rich cabbage is in nutrients. And she said, I use whole grain pasta right now. And she said, it just is cabbage cooked with noodles. But she said, you know what? My memory of my grandmother and sharing that time with her in the kitchen made all the difference in the world. And she said, more than that, my grandmother imbued me with a love of food and understanding that things don't always have to be complex. They can be a simple combination of healthy foods that keep the sustenance of the body and the spirit. And she said this recipe came from families in Eastern Europe. So I'm just going to share it with you. You use an eighth of a cup of olive oil, one onion, chop it up fine, medium, large pieces, whatever you like, a medium-sized head of cabbage chopped. You're going to need 10 ounces of whole wheat noodles and a teaspoon or more of fresh herbs if you want to put them in, salt and pepper. Cook your noodles, cook your cabbage and onions, and let those flavors marry the noodles. Drain them. Mix them in with the cabbage. maybe a little bit of extra butter, and your spices and seasonings, and just let it blend for about 5 minutes, and you're going to have a healthy meal that even a kid will love. This is Donna Sebo. It's been wonderful sharing this time with you. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, remember, you might create memories for someone else because of the love you might have for something. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you for joining me today. Won't you join me again tomorrow? We have great guests here on the Donna Sebo Show, and they love to share with you. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.